Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about this today. This is one of those subjects that you wish you didn't have to talk about, but certainly we do, and it's a good forum to bring all this out in the open and talk about this. Today I want to talk about Dibrotica. Cucumber beetles is a common name. Seems to be an increasing problem in California and also in the western part of the U.S. I worked on this insect in the Midwest for my master's and my postdoc. And when I moved to California, I thought I wouldn't have to work on it again. I didn't really want to work on it again. You know, larvae are in the soil, and corn's not the greatest crop to work in. But I've had some requests to work on this pest, so now we are picking it back up again. Just to sort of review the insect, there's numerous species of Dibrotica within that genus, somewhere around 350 different species, and they're split into three different groups. It's what I call a very adaptable insect. In the Midwest, in the corn-soybean cropping system, it's a major insect pest, was under very good management for a number of years with crop rotation rotating between corn and soybeans. But the insect figured that system out. Two ways they got around that system was having a two-year diapause. So when you rotate corn, soybeans, back to corn, you know, the insect is just there waiting for that second corn crop by that extended diapause. There's also another variant of the insect in the Midwest that decided it liked to lay its eggs in soybeans rather than corn as they normally do. So again, they understood the system and worked the system so they can get around the corn-soybean rotation. So it's a very adaptable insect. It's also a very heavily researched insect. The western corn rootworm is probably one of the most heavily researched insects in the United States, maybe second to the bollworm complex in cotton. And now recently there's GMO cotton varieties that are resistant to corn rootworms. That's opened up other avenues for research on that pest. Dibrotica are injurious in both the larval and the adult stages. The adults have evolved to utilize cucurbitacin produced by cucurbit plants as a feeding arrestant, so there's an evolutionary standpoint there with cucurbits. The adults can also fly considerable distances, and the eggs can resist poor environmental conditions, diapause in cold climates, and resist dry, arid climates in other areas. So the eggs are a survival stage for the insect. This just shows four of the common species, the most common species in the United States. Dibrotica virgifera in the upper left-hand corner is the western corn rootworm. Dibrotica virgifera, and you can see the other two species there. So the western corn rootworm, Mexican corn rootworm, the banded cucumber beetle, and the northern corn rootworm going clockwise are the species. Western corn rootworm is the one that has received the most research and is probably the most important species in the United States. Just a little bit about these four species. The larval stages are very difficult to separate, almost impossible in some cases. Looking at the three species listed there, the larvae of those three species feed almost exclusively on grasses. The adults have a slightly wider host range for those three species. Baltiata feeds on quite a wide host range, both in the adult and the larval stages, and you can see some of the key crops there that the banded cucumber beetle will damage. Four other species, and the bottom two obviously in a different genus, Acalima, but they are part of the complex and do similar sorts of damage. The southern cucumber beetle, and then the two other ones there on the bottom, striped cucumber beetles. These have a wider host range. I just considered them sort of collectively there. Both the adult and the larval stages have a fairly wide host range for the southern spotted cucumber beetle, the western spotted cucumber beetle, the striped cucumber beetle, and the western striped cucumber beetle, which are the four listed there. So what's the status of these insects in California? This slide is based on my information, what I've observed, and whether or not they occur in California. The top three, the western corn rootworm, the northern corn rootworm, and the Mexican corn rootworm, to best my knowledge, do not occur in California. The banded cucumber beetle does occur in California. The Undecipuctana, the spotted cucumber beetle, the western subspecies does obviously occur in California. And then the striped cucumber beetle The bottom one here is the western species, and it does occur in California. However, if you look at the regulatory agencies in California, they have somewhat a different listing, and I think there's some errors in their listing. Some of these have changed names quite recently. This one has a different scientific name. When I was working on it back in the mid-80s, this one has a different scientific name than in the mid-80s, and I think our regulatory agency needs to update their list a little bit so they have some different ideas on what occurs in California. But to the best of my knowledge and what I've observed, this is the correct listing in the state. If somebody knows differently, if they say, I've seen western corn rootworm, let me know. It's very likely that it may occur in the state. So why are we concerned about these insects in California? Well, first of all, you know, sort of the motto in California is if we don't have an insect in the state already, we don't want it. You know, it may not be a huge economic impact, but if it's not part of our complex of insects in the state, we just as soon keep it out. So that's the first reason why we don't want them. Obviously, there are also possible economic impacts of these insects, say the western or northern corn rootworm, if they were to move in California. The most severe impacts would be for the melon industry and the corn industry, both the sweet corn and the field corn commodities. That would be damage from the adults and damage from the larvae. I'll go into a little bit more detail here in a second. The adults would also feed on a number of other plant species and could be a problem, mainly just from a cosmetic standpoint. Leafy greens could be heavily damaged. And it only takes a couple of bites out of a spinach leaf or a romaine lettuce leaf to cause severe economic impact. So that could be a problem just from the feeding of the adults. Strawberries, beans, fruit crops could also be damaged by the adults from some of the corn rootworms. The one publication that was work that was done in California in the 1940s on the spotted cucumber beetle in California, Hillgardia publication, quite thick. The work was actually concentrated in the Brentwood area, and the beetles were damaging fruit crops, and that was the economic impact of the spotted cucumber beetle in the 1940s in Brentwood. Now, this time right now in Brentwood, all you would see would be houses. There are no peaches or apricots, a few apricots, but very, very little fruit industry. But in the 40s, that was the main concern. So looking at these two industries, the melon industry in California is obviously very important. Looking at cantaloupes, number one rank in the U.S., about 60% of the cantaloupes are produced in California. You can see about $133 million is the economic impact. However, with all the ag industries in California, melons are ranked number 32, so it's not one of our top industries, but it is number one in the U.S. Honeydew melons, also number one in the U.S., about 75% are produced in California. Watermelons, number two rank in the U.S. Looking at corn, you might say corn in California. You know, corn's not growing in California. Well, as you can see, looking here at field corn, there is only 150,000 acres of field corn. Nebraska has that much growing in the right-of-ways along the freeway. You know, so it's nothing like Nebraska or Iowa, but we do have quite a bit of field corn, and particularly quite a bit of corn grown for silage, about 500,000 acres. And you can see the economic value somewhere around $400 million. Sweet corn is a little bit of a different story. California is the number two producer of sweet corn in the U.S. About 18% of the sweet corn that is produced in the United States is produced in California. The field corn situation is so important in the state because of this. Milk and cream is actually the number one ag industry in California. It's not what you might commonly think of. It's milk and cheese and ice cream, et cetera, et cetera. So most of that silage corn and the grain corn feeds in literally to that milk and cream industry. And also beef cattle, sheep, turkeys, chickens are also of importance to California and require corn to feed those in many cases. Okay, where are these crops growing in the state? Most of them are grown in the San Joaquin Valley, the large yellow area there in the middle. The melons are grown from about here down to here. Melons are also grown in the Imperial Valley. Apparently do not have a cucumber beetle problem there. The corn is also grown in the San Joaquin Valley. The sweet corn is really scattered out, quite a bit of production down in Imperial Valley, quite a bit of production here in the San Joaquin Valley. Okay, what kind of damage do these insects do to melons, as in this case? These slides are actually from New York, not from California, but they do depict the type of damage that would be done. Damage to the cotyledons, damage to the more mature plants feeding on the leaves, then damage to the blossoms feeding on the blossoms. And that is striped cucumber beetle, spotted cucumber beetle, and they can obviously do a lot of damage. What really led us to believe that there might be something unusual going on with cucumber beetles, there might be a new species, might be some changes occurring. It's really shown here, and this is from the California Melon Research Advisory Board. From their strategic plans they put together in the late 90s and the early, actually 2003, they identified cucumber beetles as a pest, but it certainly wasn't a major importance. It was far down the list, you know, behind leaf miners and aphids and a bunch of other things. However, in 2007, when they updated their research priorities, cucumber beetles actually came out to be right at the very top. You know, finding practical solutions of immediate concern, control strategies for western striped and spotted cucumber beetle in the melon industry. That was their number one priority for research. So something obviously changed from the around 2000 to about 2007. Another slide that indicates this is a developing problem is here. This is a use of Carbaryl 7 insecticide in melons, and pretty much the only thing that Carbaryl could be used for would be cucumber beetles. And this just shows increasing use of Carbaryl. Melon acreage hasn't changed a lot. Where the melons are grown hasn't changed a lot over this time period, but you can see the use of Carbaryl has really about gone up about 400% over this 15-year period. And again, Carbaryl is primarily used for cucumber beetles. So I think it is a developing problem. We had growers that said they treated about 15 times during one cropping season for cucumber beetles. So again, that's indicative of this insect being a severe problem. So these slides are from California. We started a research project in July of 2007. So we don't have a lot of results yet, but what we're seeing would be melons with damage from cucumber beetles is shown right here. Melons in the cotyledon stage, the beetles feeding right at the soil surface, taking a couple bites out, and that seedling then is gonna die from that damage. The other type of damage we saw here is shown here. The melon on the right is in good shape. That honeydew will bring about $30 per melon in Japan. Melon here on the left obviously is not going to bring 30 cents anywhere. And this is feeding from the adults on the surface of the honeydew. It's fine inside, but on the outside, cosmetic damage, that melon is pretty much worthless. We've also found the larvae feeding on the melons. Right where the melon lays on the soil surface, the larvae are feeding underneath on the bottom of that melon. Then when you pick it, you have injury or wounds there. Damage to sweet corn. Primarily feeding on the silks and causing an ear, as shown there. Field corn, we have certain areas in the state that are heavy dairy areas, and the circles on this slide show dairies. This is about a 10-mile area, about a 10 by 10-mile area, and those are all dairies in that area. What is in the green fields would be corn to feed the dairies and alfalfa. Many of these cornfields are corn year after year after year, so it's not a rotation scheme, and that's what you really need for corn rootworm damage. So this situation is really ideal for corn rootworm and feeding by the insect on the roots of corn plants. Why do we have so many dairies and so much corn year after year? Well, it's to feed the happy cows in California. I don't know if you've seen the happy cow commercials. We see them about every 5 minutes, it seems like, on TV. And this is damage to field corn, feeding on the roots, the corn plants lodge. Again, this is very rare in California. We don't typically see this, and we hope we don't see it. But this is damage that the insect is doing in the Midwest. Okay, what's the distribution of western corn rootworm? Again, that's the one that we're most concerned with possibly getting in California. This slide from website resides at Purdue, and they track the distribution year after year. This is 2004 and 2006. Scene hasn't changed a whole lot, but there's a few points that are not indicated on the slide that should be. The X's there are Idaho. Western corn rootworm was found in southern Idaho in the early 1970s, in western Idaho in 1979. There's actually an extension bulletin published in 1980 on the insect, and it's doing severe damage to corn in Idaho. Also in southern Oregon, it was found in the early 1980s, doing severe damage in that area. And I surveyed the extension entomologists in the western U.S., and this is information that they provided to me. It's not a really a recognized pest in Washington. It's not a consistent pest in Arizona, but it is found certainly in Idaho and in Oregon, causing problems. Northern corn rootworm apparently isn't found west in the Rocky Mountains, so that's good. What's the possibility of this insect spreading, a western corn rootworm? Well, it moved into Europe in the early 1990s, as indicated there by the yellow dot, and it spread throughout much of Europe, as shown there. This shows about a 10-year period, and you can see how the western corn rootworm spread through Europe. So from that point, spread over a 10-year period. And they now have a research program coming up with management plans for the insect in Europe. So it's a very significant pest of corn there. This just shows found in Germany and in 2005, found in another part of Germany in 2007. So the insect gets around. It moves quite readily. And this just shows a distribution maps from that same Purdue website from Europe. What about interceptions in California? This is data from CDFA looking at Undecima punctata, and over the last 20 years or so, there's been about 60 interceptions mostly at the border stations. If you drive your car into California, they check things out. They found it there about 60 times. Also at the San Francisco and the Oakland Airport, there have been interceptions there. The western corn rootworm, Virgifera, 7 captures over that 20-year period. So it has been introduced in California, but presumably and hopefully it's been taken care of, so it hasn't established in the state. Then the northern corn rootworm, 4 captures at these same border checkpoints. So, you know, introduction to California is very possible. We have a very strong vegetable industry, many vegetable breeding companies, corn breeding companies, a lot of transportation of seed and other materials from other states in the U.S. as well as other countries. So movement of the insect is quite possible in California. What would be the implications? Crop loss, obviously, be a nuisance pest for gardeners, and there'd be increased insecticide usage if it were to establish within the state. What might be the insecticides used? OPs and carbamates. Those are a severe problem for water quality in California. Pyrethroids are used. Those are being reevaluated in the state because of also water quality effects, and they're under scrutiny in California. Maybe if we got it in California, GMO corn could be used in the state, but GMO anything is not really a pleasant word in California, so that would be problematic. Fortunately, the work we've done in the last four months or so, we haven't found anything out of the ordinary. We haven't found western corn rootworm. We haven't found northern corn rootworm. But again, looks like there is something going on, some changes going on, and we'll continue to do our work. Just to conclude with, California is known as the state of fruits and nuts, and there's a reason for that is light brown apple moth is an insect that was recently introduced into the state. There's an eradication program going on using aerial applications of a pheromone product for this eradication. It's in the Santa Cruz, Monterey, Carmel area. And some of the information on a website, you would think they're spraying a deadly toxic insecticide. Again, it's a pheromone product. So trying to do anything with broad-scale control programs in California is a challenge. And anytime a new insect is introduced in the state, that requires eradication, that is a significant challenge in the state. So hopefully we can keep some of these insects out. Thank you very much.